Welcome to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron brings you conversations that spark innovation, cultivate leadership skills, and pave the way for your business success. In each episode, we delve into the dynamic world of business and leadership, exploring strategies, insights, and success stories that fuel your professional journey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. My name's EJ, and I'm your host, and we are so thankful today to have you joining us. Maybe it's your very first time tuning into Sparking Success. If that's true, we would love for you to subscribe, like, follow, leave us a comment down below. It not only engages our community as they're watching the podcast or listening to the podcast, but it also gives an opportunity for us to continue to grow. And if you have listened before, you know that I'm hanging out today with Aaron. Aaron, how are you doing today, man?
Great, EJ. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a busy week around here. A lot of exciting things to hear, to see happening, a lot of opportunities continuing to grow here. And I'm thankful for that.
It's usually so laid back and slow around here, you know.
Yeah, right. And part of the reason that it's not laid back and slow around here is a part of the reason that we're going to be talking about today. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about setting vision and direction within your organization. And I truly believe that the reason that we have the energy here, the reason that Spark Companies continues to grow is because of that vision and what you're, you know, providing to the overall team here. So, you know, as you were planning out topics and we were talking with one another, I knew that you kind of got excited about this one. And we had a conversation earlier this week, and I was just sharing with you how great you are at sharing vision to our team. And I know you won't say that, so I'll say it about you. But I'm thankful for the vision that I've seen you cast to the greater team here. And I know it goes beyond that. Today, we're going to dive into a couple of different areas about setting vision and meeting rhythms and things like that. We'll talk a little bit about offsites. We'll talk a little bit about stand-up meetings. We'll talk a little bit about regular meetings and things like that. But as you think about vision, Aaron, can you share just your general approach overall at crafting vision for an organization and what you've seen work for you?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, one, thanks for that. It's something I'm trying to be intentional. I am intentional about it. I'm not trying to be intentional. I'm intentional about it. I'm working at it. We'll get into it here in a minute, but I like to think that I have improved in this area and still much room to improve. But looking back on this, it's like, okay, can see the tangible advancements that we've been able to make, and that hasn't, some of that's been trial, error, just learning, you know, experience, and some of that has been seeking out, you know, mentorship and advice in this area and modeling good behaviors of people that are elite at this.
Yeah, and I think trial and error is a huge part of casting vision, you know. You want to share with everybody just a general topic of where you feel like you failed at casting vision? And
I think that, you know, that you talk about like visionaries or integrators within like Good Grade or EOS, you know, models.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure some of the audience will be familiar with those things or have read those books. Good books.
Yeah.
Good concepts. Definitely have that visionary, you know, side to me. And I have, you know, pretty much like just naturally wired in. And that's been great. And I think good for what we're doing and what we have built and, you know, how we wanted to do it. That part has come pretty natural to me. The part that hasn't come as natural is like getting that out, like out of your head, right?
Got it. Yeah.
In communicating that in a way that people can understand it, but then second, where you start to communicate it in a way where it can be executed upon.
Yeah.
You know, those are like advancements. And I think like if I was working with a visionary and you look at it like, okay, you know, it could start with just like, let's physically get some of this stuff out on paper or on a whiteboard or, you know, in some docs.
Yeah.
You know, let's build up frameworks on how we're going to present this to people. But then there's the, okay, you get outside of that and it's like, how do we really, you got to get good at painting this and then you got to get good at dialing into like how you're going to execute on it.
Yeah,
so, those are three phases to it, I think.
Yeah, do you feel like you've always been a natural visionary, and then within that, what you've learned or what you've reeled in is how to share that and execute it for people?
I think the first part of that was a God-given, thing. And phase two and phase three is something I really had to work at hard. And still, I hope where I can see improvement in those areas, another 5 years out, I hope I'm still saying, you've continued to improve in that area. Because it's like the bigger the team gets, the bigger the mission or the vision that you have. Well, as you keep progressing down that line so far, and this just isn't going to change. It won't. It's you have to keep improving on that too, because it gets more complex on how you communicate that. And ultimately, really, where it gets the most complex is how is it executed?
Yeah. And, you share vision in various different arenas. We all do. Sometimes we're sharing it, with our leadership teams. Sometimes we're sharing it across organizations. And you found a few different ways that, casting vision, setting vision and direction for your organizations is important. And one of those that I've heard multiple leaders here talk about is the offsites that you guys do. And as you've kind of set up that offsite model, mm-hmm. what does that look like here at Spark Companies?
I think, so before I go into that, we're talking about are you a visionary? Can you dream stuff up and can you get that onto paper? Cool, that's part one. Well, how do you get better at those phase two and phase threes? We'll go through a couple of the tactical things. There's more to it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to work on within this and practice and hone and get better at. But here's some of the things that you could frame into here's how I'm going to go at putting some reps in on this and getting better and, just be set up to have the tools in place. Now I just got to practice with the tools to get better and better. But so the first one is these offsites.
Yeah.
And we can go in any order. We're kind of going high up and then kind of coming back down.
Drill it down.
Day to day.
Yeah.
So the offsites, when they started, it's something that we did in December.
Okay.
And we do it as planning into the next year.
Okay.
That was good compared to some organizations don't do this at all. Or you see a lot of organizations that are doing their plannings or their their 2024 planning sessions and it's January or mid-February. And I'm always just before you implement anything, specifically the bigger the company is, dude, it's going to be Q3 before anything gets you're almost halfway, through the year, or you are halfway through the year. So we started them in December, which was good. As we've progressed, and I love where we're at now, we've implemented this over the last 2 years. I actually learned this from one of my coaches, Ben Newman, who I've been on his podcast, a couple times.
Yeah.
Or once. I don't know why I said a couple times. Once.
Yeah, you've led some other webinars and stuff like that for right. his
we've
group
done
of
some
people.
Other things.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. That's why I was thinking.
I got you, bro.
But so as he was talking about planning and stuff in a combo that I believe we had it would have been about a little less than 2 years ago.
Okay.
Before our 22 planning. So we're getting ready for 23. And so he talked about starting this in October. And normally we had done this in December and we would get done, but it was one meeting and it was a lot to go through in one day. And some people could think this is overkill. It's worked well for us, but we moved that up to October. Hmm. So we did that in our 22 planning and our 23 planning for, 24.
Okay.
So we've done that the last 2 years, and we've really liked that. It's been effective for us to implement that. So I believe I got that right. Maybe it's even been 3 years. I don't know. But since we've implemented that the last couple of years, we've really liked that. We've had, three meetings that allow us to kind of hit things top level, talk about, some key initiatives, and then clean everything up in the third one, and we're ready to go. We try and get all those done before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Being in Workforce Solutions, you have a lot of people, both client side, and it is when a lot of our people take their time off too. One, it's the holidays, but other people are taking time off. It can be a good time, to take time off if there's ever a good time to do that. So we want to, before we kind of get into that phase of the year, we like to have all that done for the next year, which includes not just us in that meeting, but then going out and communicating that to the whole team.
Yeah. What type of prep do you as a CEO, a leader, do for that? Are you doing budgets ahead of that? Are you having, you know, one-on-one with, you know, department heads, unit leaders, business owners prior to that kind of, and then on the offsite, are you bringing that all together or is it more dreaming? Maybe it's a mix of both.
It's a mix of both.
It's a mix of both.
It's a good, so it's a lot of additional work outside of the day-to-day or yeah. Like there's,
it's not just show up.
There's planning to the planning, but not to the extent of like, you know, you don't want to plan yourself to death. Like,
right.
So when we do these, like, I think we found the right sweet spot for us in three of them. And yeah, there's some prep and then there's like homework kind of in between for everybody on certain items or ideas or things that come up as action items, right? If we get stuck on anything, we might revisit that in a second meeting or third meeting.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit of both. You know, those meetings should be allowing us to go back and revisit, you know, the big picture, even though we're doing that and some of the other things that we're talking about at times, like we're really able to take some time and do that. And hey, when we achieve this, it's going to lead us to this. And I think we've alluded to, I can't remember which talk it's been on.
Or, yeah.
You know, we talk a lot, right? But we've talked about that before. We were going through one of the org charts and we talked about like, hey, crossing this next igniter for us. And we're going to have this role and this role and this one.
Right.
And then we did that and those things happened. And so that was like a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked about it both in the Knowing Your Numbers episode as well as the gross profit episode. And, you know, one of the things that over the years that I've got to participate in offsites with is whether it be on the consultative side of things or it be on the participant side of things, you know, offsites at times can get derailed. As you're going into an offsite, what is your main goal coming out of that?
Well, you should just have some main goals down that you want to achieve. So we want to come up with our igniters for the year.
Yep.
Understand key initiatives.
Yep.
And really, that's it. But there's a lot that goes into that. But it sounds relatively simple. Good. Keep it simple. The complexity will come within the conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's whether you have a facilitator.
That's exactly what I was going to ask next.
Whether you have an offsite, you know, like someone outside the company, or like I've acted as a facilitator in this. We've had other facilitators. I believe we brought, you know, we're stuck on some things. In one instance, I think we brought in an offsite facilitator to that. It was a couple of years ago, so I don't completely recall if it was that or in one of these other meetings we'll talk about that was just close to those.
Yeah.
But it was at least around key initiative topics.
Yeah.
So those are some things that you could do, but someone needs to be steering the ship to keep things on track.
Yeah. Everybody wants time with Aaron Opelousky here at Spark Companies. At least that's my perceptive. When you set up an offsite, how do you determine who goes to that? Is that your highest level of leadership? Is that, hey, you and bring somebody else? And I want to move on to the other stuff, but I feel like one of the things that I've seen in the past that I don't see here, and that's why I'm highlighting it, is you get the right people in the room. How do you decide that?
So it's the operators of the businesses
and
then the operators of the business units. So who's ever leading, let's just, you know, whether it's a company for us, which we have, you know, a portfolio of seven, or it's someone leading a business unit, like those are all kind of in their own, whether it's a like legitimate, like, oh, this has an LLC and it's a business, or it's a business unit inside the business, still running as a business unit.
Yeah.
The leader of those are there.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
and then the executive, you know,
team. Yeah. I've heard over the years as well, Aaron, it's like, oh man, that's such a big investment. But I've always seen that investment pay off in some way, shape or form. And have you found that true?
I think in the long term, I think we've had some of those meetings that were less productive than others. It's a good framework. You know, we've got better at it. I'd like to, and I hope that continues to happen, right? It should. Like, we should continue to get better at these things. It's evolved. It's got better. It's got crisper. I think we've got better results from them. But I think it's been a good framework to have, even in years where it's like, you know, man, we set up all this stuff and, you know, we only did 30% of what we set out to do for the year.
Yeah.
Okay. But what did we learn? How did it advance? Like, so it's all, I think it's been a positive. Has it been more effective? I could say, man, we ran that one. You know, wait, yeah, I can definitely, but that's how it should be. Hopefully the last one was the best one.
Yeah.
I think that somewhat still remains to be seen on how, like, hey, we got to keep bringing it, performing, advancing this year and setting up, you know, for the future. It's not just about this year. It's about continuing to track towards the mission.
Yeah. You mentioned going from, you know, I think a big picture, right, when you're off site.
Yeah.
It's kind of the opposite because you not only are going from the big picture, but you're going small group. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, you could put the triangle both ways. And so smaller team, wider vision. And then your next set of meetings or, you know, vision casting mm-hmm. goes into what you call leadership meeting. Talk to us about those.
So we'll do a leadership meeting. We do them biweekly.
Okay.
You know, we're that same group, all the business unit leaders and the executive team are meeting.
Okay.
You know, so it happens twice a month. They're yep. essentially together. You could do different cadences. That's what we do. And we talk about stuff. And,
yeah.
and part of what we talk about is how we're doing on the initiatives for the year, where we stand. And we'll also then get into some like more of like what's going on in the day to day. But we generally start the meeting with a snapshot.
Yep.
You know, and then we'll talk through the snapshot. We'll talk through key drivers or opportunities we see across, you know, the different business units or companies. And then we kind of go from there. Sometimes we get into some day-to-day stuff. A lot of times you might see me or someone else say, hey, like, why don't we take this item offline? Or, hey, you guys go talk about this and come up with your, like, you don't have a solution yet. Go talk about this. Get back to us by X date. Or in 2 weeks, like, you guys are going to bring us up to speed on where you're at with this.
Okay.
A lot of times I like to push what careful thing with what I just said. Don't be overly formal is my big thing, right?
Okay.
So like I'm not, and I think I've made mistakes on this before where we have these frameworks, right? And I'm like, hey, okay, let us know what you guys are going to do in 2 weeks. Well, in a lot of instances, not always, but in a lot of instances, maybe that can be just decided today.
Okay.
And it's like, well, we have this meeting set up, and so we'll just make the decision. Then, like, dude, don't act overly formally if you don't have to. Make your decisions, keep moving.
Yeah.
There's going to be things that require more time, thought, or effort, but every decision or conversation doesn't have to wait till the next week that whole group's together.
Yeah.
You know, you can do this thing called, like, an email looping everybody into the decision that you've made, and we can move forward a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Like, the second if you have effective communication on that and you make that decision in that, you know, day, right, and it starts generating results over the next 2 weeks compared to waiting and everyone sitting on their hands for 2 weeks, multiply that by, you know, hundreds of decisions. Like, what company do you think is going to move faster?
Yeah.
The one that now,
100%.
Not those decisions are off the rails or like you're making them abruptly or whatever. Like, okay, well, that would be different. But I think a lot of times stuff that can be decided pretty quickly gets overcomplicated.
Okay.
Again, like, look for your opportunities. You heard me say this in a meeting yesterday.
Yep.
Got pretty passionate about it because it's important, because this is the stuff that steamrolls progress.
Yeah.
Don't overcomplexify things.
Right.
Stop.
Get it done.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean we can't be creative.
Yep.
Doesn't mean we can't improve stuff. It's one of the core values, be humble, crave improvement.
Yep.
But we shouldn't have to, like, you don't have to make this so complex where you look up and you still haven't implemented anything in 3 months.
Yeah.
Get started.
Yeah. And there's a refinement in that as well. You know,
correct. There's room to continue to improve. Like, and I think part of getting out there doing it when you get to a certain point or make your decision and go with it is that's going to give you the best feedback on where your tweaks are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So leadership meeting, that's your top tier.
Yep.
As you're coming out of that meeting, for you as the CEO, are you then, what are you looking for coming out of that meeting? Rigorous discussion within it?
Implementation of what we've talked about.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, maybe some other stuff, but
generally
implementation of what we talked about.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are we in there talking?
That's good. I love it. Okay, so we go from offsites, leadership meetings, mm-hmm. then you go a little bit wider to company meetings.
Yep.
What do those look like?
So we do a monthly and a weekly, and some people, they're like, that's a lot, and it, hey, it may be, and we continue to watch this. Our monthlies are a little bit longer, and our quarterlies are actually the longest. They'll go generally over an hour. Sometimes they go 90 minutes. They don't always, but that's where we're really updating on some of the big key initiatives tied to Igniters and Visions. We do a little micro version of that within like the monthlies where we're talking about some of that key stuff.
Yep.
And then the weeklies are more of like key updates for things we just want to fill people in on. Within all those meetings, though, we're looking for opportunities to recognize, acknowledge on core values, on behaviors that we think are exceptional and we want to see more of. Well, one of the ways you get more of that is you recognize the hell out of people that
are
doing
it,
and not in a fake way. Like, it needs to be genuine. Like, you saw me in our meeting this week, and I'm like, I didn't plan on it, right? But I'm like, I was tearing up in the meeting because we're talking about someone kind of overcoming some challenges and just how empowering that is within what we do. And I got emotional about it because it means something to me.
Yeah,
I think it's important. It's important to what we do. It's a part of our culture. And I know that whether someone's using that here or in life, it's good. It's going to help you grow in all areas. So I'm super passionate about it. So.
Yeah. Company meetings here at Spark, I've come to know, are not just your platform. You have other leaders talk at that. Mm-hmm. You typically share a piece of that. Is that also an important value within that to you, having other voices up there? And as people are thinking about that, mm-hmm. what should they be thinking there?
Well, for us, it's intentional, and it's a little bit pushing those people outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, our purpose is to help people grow. No one likes public speaking, or at least that's what the stats say. A lot of people don't. But, you know, this is a great, like, our people leading these units, like, we expect them to get up there and talk about their units. Now, within that, because we're pushing that, right, I have to be okay with, like, not the perfect delivery or someone like they said this wrong, like, okay, well, we can provide, like, we don't stop the meeting or anything like that. We'll provide some coaching. You know, there's your time or two where we might come in and like put some more context behind something that was said or whatever. Yep. And that's part of like, well, you know, you got to be confident in yourself that like, look, like, we're gonna let people dent the car, but not total it.
Yeah.
You know, we've said that before.
Yep.
And you know, we got to empower people. Like, if we're gonna build other leaders and people that can go out and achieve this mission, you're going to have to get up there and be able to talk about the unit. You're going to have to be able to acknowledge and recognize people, like, all this stuff. And part of doing that is practice. Part of doing it is practice in situations that are uncomfortable for you. Mm-hmm. And do that for a year, 2 years, 3 years, then look up and you see that it's not that big of a deal for you anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a tangible example of growth.
Yeah. Do you assign the topic that those operators talk about? Do you kind of give them free rein?
No, we'll give them some frameworks or things that we recommend that they would be talking about. If we think someone has room for improvement in what they share, we'd share that with them.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So. I know one of the part of company meetings also that I've recognized here is reinforcing a specific value that mm-hmm. we have. I would say, you know, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 of those meetings that I've been a part of, I've seen that. So you're reinforcing, you know, over and all over. You're bringing clarity around those goals. You're bringing clarity about what's happening within the organization. Mm-hmm. If there's new people coming, if there's, you know, people departing onto a new venture, you know, those type of things. And what have you seen as you've provided that clarity consistently within the company meeting? What has evolved, do you think, within the organization?
I think my personal opinion, just from being here the whole time and watching us, like, one, I don't think we're perfect at this, but I think we've got a lot better. I know we're not perfect,
right,
but we've got a lot better at this. It's absolutely intentional and it's absolutely authentic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I'm still working on it because it should be 10 out of 10. And I do miss it here or there. I'll kind of say something. I'll veer off. I won't like hit the point home and tie it always to a core value. So I've got a lot better at that in all my communication, but I'm not perfect. So I'm working on it because I can tidy up, clean up, and communicate with great language if all my conversations tie back to that in some way.
Yeah.
So it's definitely authentic and something that we have wired in, but like for us to look at like where we didn't do that and like as things were shifting and people were like, oh, we didn't know things changed so much. And like, yeah, we're growing, right? Like we're promoting organically. Like yeah. There's going to be changes, mistakes, things that, you know, we pivot. Well, this became a great vehicle for us to communicate that stuff. And I'm sure that, again, you know, we can improve and like I would give that feedback, but it's come a long way from like just people like, man, like a week goes by or a month goes by and they're like, oh, this and this changed. And I didn't even know. And we've had to be intentional about setting up a vehicle that gives us the opportunity to communicate that stuff. And that's what that's for.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're 10 minutes. The one this last week was and Anna let me know it was like 49 minutes or something like that.
Anna's a sweet wife.
She's like, that was good. It's a little long winded, but it was good. But we had a lot of updates to cover.
Yeah,
it's a big one.
See, it's funny because,
but that's the feedback I got.
Yeah, it's really weird because I took the exact opposite. Like I literally came away from that meeting so fired up.
Good.
I was like, yes, let's go. Now, the advantage that, you know, or the difference there is Anna probably hears you processing some of that stuff consistently, you know, and yeah, that's funny. I want to laugh more about that. Okay, so we go offsite, then we're going leadership, then we're going company-wide. Mm-hmm. And then kind of the fourth cadence of you setting vision, giving direction within the organization is the daily stand-up.
Yeah, so we call them plug-ins.
Aaron, I can feel the heaviness in part of that. Like, you kind of take that deep breath. So you're not in every plug-in meeting.
I'm not. I removed myself from those, and one level over us, our executive team are not, well, from our production side, they're not in them either.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a key point. So in removing yourself from anything, right? Here's what I'm still doing and how I know it's not up to standard and we're going to be working on this, even though it's a small thing and we're breaking all these, like you'd think it's small and we're breaking all these records or whatever. The fundamentals just matter so much to holding the standard. So I'm not in the meetings, but every week over the weekends, I'm in the reports that they go through one of our reports. And that's like part of this meeting is that they're going through that.
Yep.
And I will go through it and I comb the whole report and I look for any inconsistencies, anything that's out of whack that I know should be covered in the meeting that isn't getting covered.
Yeah.
And it's a running joke around here. You don't want the yellow highlight, but I'll put the, I'll start highlighting and, some people are going to laugh about that. So, but as we're doing that, like, and we're seeing patterns, you know, within that. What that tells me is I instantly know that we're not asking the right questions within the meetings.
Got it.
Going through the motions to some extent.
Okay.
And so that's happening enough right now that, you know, we're having to assess, it's probably going to be in our next executive meeting, like, okay, what do we do with that? And I think both Fletcher, myself, like we don't really want to swoop back in because we've had to do that multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot to do. And we've empowered some people to do that. We got to figure that out. And unfortunately, this isn't our first time. We've had some conversations with the group on that, and we don't seem to be getting that message through.
Got it.
So that's where the heavy breath comes in on, like, you know, we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it probably means we are going to roll up our sleeves and figure out how to get back into those because it matters, you know, that much. So we'll see what happens.
What do you hope is covered in those stand-ups, those plug-in meetings?
you got to get through the key bottlenecks and what's going on. And then we use it to communicate it where we're at in the process on, you know, for us, the hiring process.
Right.
Right. Well, there should be no snags in that. There needs to be clear, concise communication, dates, timelines, follow-ups. Like nothing is missed in that. And if anything's off the rails on that, if the proper notes aren't put in, if there's a note put in and it's like, hey, by 4:19 or by 4:18, this is going to be done. I'm looking at this tomorrow, Saturday, which I will be. And I think that's 4:20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that we didn't go through that because that should have been an item addressed by the person that's running the plugin. So
got it.
We have some work to do on that. And again, the results can be new records or like that's good. To maintain that and continue that, you gotta have the fundamentals down.
Yeah.
So we have, and that's a consistent thing. I think people, you know, you do good, you do some good things, you grow, things get more complex. And if you slip on some of the fundamental stuff that brought you there or the fundamental stuff that brought you there, it won't be much past probably 60 to 90 days, depending on your cycle of how your business works, before you see some dips happening with
mm-hmm.
because you dropped your standards.
Yeah.
And we're not, we don't have a magic recipe against that. The magic recipe is staying aware of it and,
right.
and holding the standard and leading by example on it. And, you know, sometimes maybe swooping back in, even if that's not what we really want to do.
Right.
We're at the point where that's probably the next step.
Yeah. And I just want to clarify this. When you say swooping back in, it's not swooping back into every plugin across the business units. Is it?
I hope not.
Sometimes it's just, hey, we need to dial in this market or in this.
Now, in the past, too, just stop me if I go too long.
No, you're good.
In the past, like because you're frustrated that you have to maybe swoop back in, I might swoop back in. I might really steamroll some stuff.
Okay.
And so I'm aware of that, right? And I still have that tendency. Like that's like, that would be my first tendency. But okay, if I'm gonna swoop back in, or if I'm gonna direct, you know, hey, you know, Fletcher, you need to get in these meetings for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a deep breath. Let's do it. Let's make sure we're approaching it from a coaching standpoint. Like don't get in there and get frustrated with it and get off the rails, because
right.
within that you could probably do more damage than good.
Yeah.
And I've definitely done that before. I know I have.
Yeah.
Now some of that course corrected and fixed some of those issues surface level, but they probably caused some other ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to work through that, you know? So there's a nuanced way to do that. That's right. You know, and anything like that, it's like, man, and it really worked at taking, like, I can come with the same points, acumen, and push for the same results with a little bit calmer demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see this now come out. You'll see my super ultra competitive side come out more and more in our higher level meetings now, because that's the group that has more proximity to talking to me all the time.
Right.
Within that, they know that there's a elevated trust factor that's been built up. Well, that might be my only interaction with someone else, you know, for a period of time,
mm-hmm.
and don't have the same context or relationship, or maybe they, you know, they've worked here for a couple of weeks and I'm coming in, I'm just blasting everybody in that meeting.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be, man, what the heck?
You know? Yeah.
So we all make mistakes. Again, I'm competitive. So like I'll probably mess that up from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
if I do mess that up, it's probably something I acknowledge in front of the team.
Got it.
But there's ways to do that in the sweet spot. And you know, I really like John Maxwell's demeanor on stuff like this. I just think he's razor sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Still, I think in his mid-70s or mid-70s or something like this. You know, believes in God, you know, so like I look at him that way, but he's got this business acumen. He's just got this way about him where he can say stuff, but it doesn't come off where it just crushes you.
Right.
But he can get a point across and it can be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if there's someone that I'm trying to aspire to be like
in
that area, it would be like, man, I want to model that more than just steamrolling, you know,
people. Right.
So,
and I'll point out, I read a ton of Maxwell as well. You know, he talks about that clarity. He talks about the vision and the direction. And when you know where you're going, right, whether it be you as the leader or the team, and then you do have those moments where you have to really press, they automatically are easier on everyone when there's that clarity around vision.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
Pick your spot. If you do have to do that, well, if you're doing that every single time, people aren't going to, they're gonna get worn out on that.
Yeah.
So that's a good point too.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron, I feel like I could talk for 3 more hours on this that I want to pick your brain. I definitely think there's going to be a part 2 to this down the line. As we wrap up today's episode of Sparking Success, anything that you want to solidify as you've talked about, or maybe, you know, being that visionary, something else popped back into your head?
I think we covered a lot today.
Yeah.
That's probably enough, like you said, but I would say, like, hey, if you're listening to this, you find any value in it, it helps us out immensely. If you will leave us a review, share this with just one person that you think it would help, you know, subscribe if you haven't, you know, if you can subscribe on audio and on YouTube, hey, that's awesome. Don't get any value in it, don't do that, but we'd really appreciate it if you do, if you'd help support us.
Yeah, by all means. Aaron, thanks for sharing today.
Thanks, EJ.
Okay.
Welcome to Sparking Success with Aaron Opalewski. Aaron brings you conversations that spark innovation, cultivate leadership skills, and pave the way for your business success. In each episode, we delve into the dynamic world of business and leadership, exploring strategies, insights, and success stories that fuel your professional journey.